It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champions Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here from Champions on Baxter. My name is Rodney DeBolsey. I'll be your host. I'm joined by former Georgia head coach Jim Dunnan. He's part of my new bowling club, and we got the matching shirts going on today. That was inadvertent, by the way, so I don't have any sort of style or anything like that. But I figure if I start dressing like coach, then maybe I can get a job somewhere that actually pays money. We are going to have a great show for you today. We're missing Jake Roos. He has some previous engagement that he has to go to, but he did send us some notes, so we do have some good recruiting talk. And I mean, this is the first show since signing day. Last week we told you what was going to happen on signing day. It happened. Good job, coach. And we will discuss that. Plus, you know, we'll answer all of your questions.
Plus, you predicted the coaches. That was good by you.
Well, you know, I got some good sources up there who can tell us who the two new Georgia coaches were. Actually, three new Georgia coaches. So. I guess a staff, two coaches and a staffer.
That's 100%, man. You're on fire.
Hey, you know, blind squirrel. They're like Dan Mullen says.
Don't give me a Dan Mullen stuff. He didn't even say acorn. He said nut. You can tell he's a Yankee.
Well, yeah, Dan Mullen.
Good guy though. I like.
Yeah, Dan is going to be fun to watch. You know, he's going to be fun to cover down in Florida. So, to Mark Wheeler and the guys that cover Florida for Rivals.com, you're very lucky to have a guy like that down there, because there's going to be a lot of little nuggets like that for the media to chew on. So, it's going to be a lot of fun. Before we get started, I want to tell everybody what we have going on here at Champions. If you come in this Saturday starting at 5 o'clock, it is their 3-year anniversary. And now, just so you know, in their 3 years, they have won the Reader's Choice Award for Best Fried Chicken 3 times in a row. So that's pretty good. They're 3 for 3.
5-star. I mean, it's a 5-star place.
Exactly. If there were a possibility for 6-star, Champions would get it.
Stayed on top, too. That's what's impressive.
Yeah,
but they're going to have a celebration here, the kind of stuff that, you know, branch out a little bit, have a low country boil here. That's going to be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to have to come in for that. And actually, we're going to be in Orlando covering the Rivals camp for that. So everybody else can come in. You can come in for that. But Jake and I will be in Orlando covering the Rivals
camp. So what do you do? Sit under a tree there and just sit?
Here's the greatest thing about the Rivals camp, because it's exclusive. So we invite all these kids to come to the camp, and we'll have 100 to 200, well, probably close to 200 of the best kids in Florida, in Orlando, at our camp. 200 of the top kids, and no one else is there. And so it is shooting fish in a barrel for updates. Just like, hey, where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going?
How'd that kid from Buford get there last week?
Aaron McLaughlin, who won the quarterback MVP, a freshman quarterback at Buford. Now, granted, he's a little bit older than most people think he is. I think he's 16, 17. Yeah, he's been held back a little bit. I don't know how it worked out. But Aaron McLaughlin, 6'5", 6'6", really tall quarterback, won the quarterback MVP as a true freshman. He's a freshman at Buford High School. Steve Clarkson is his quarterback's coach, and he was actually working the camp. You know, we had Chad Ochocinco there and a lot of other NFL guys, a lot of NFL talent, NFL coaches at the camp helping out. And so Aaron McLaughlin went down to Miami, and he was going to try to visit Miami as well, see Coach Rick, but he couldn't work that into his trip. But yeah, that is a talented kid to come in and start as a true freshman at a powerhouse like Buford, and then to go down to the Miami camp, which is absolutely loaded. South Florida, come on. You know, 200 kids out there, and to be named the number one quarterback, that's a big deal.
I mean, when you look at the state of Georgia coming up, we talked about Fields and Lawrence and Emory Jones, but you know, that class coming up there in 2020 when you got the kid from Marietta and Max Johnson, and now this guy coming up in 21. I mean,
yeah,
they just keep on trucking.
Well, the kid behind Trevor Lawrence, I think, is T. Webb, I think is his name. I mean, there are so many good quarterbacks.
Let's get these sponsors. Yeah. I'm bad about breaking.
That's okay. Speaking of Champions, they do have a new deal. Every day of the week, they have a different sandwich that is their specialty. And what we have in front of us is 3 of them, because they knew I was coming, so they couldn't do just one sandwich. They had to do 3. We have a patty melt, we have a chicken melt, and we have a catfish sandwich. I noticed the catfish sandwich is on your end. I know you like the catfish here, so
all right,
you can have half of one. That'll be fair, and I'll get the rest.
All right.
Big guys. We also want to thank
– got French fries with it, too.
Yeah,
you know.
You can have some of those.
Did you hear about that guy that quit the University of Tennessee the other day?
No, sir.
Because he spelled taters with a P-O.
God.
That's bad, but it's funny, though, isn't it? You can't even pronounce taters right. They got to call them potatoes.
Yeah, well, that just shows that they, you know, that's not school for him. We want to thank Athens Ford, the best Ford dealership to me in the known universe. Granted, it's the only Ford dealership I know, but they are the only Ford dealership in Athens. And I'm going to tell you about a couple quick specials, so don't hold on. Now, if you want to go out there and get a 2018 Ford Explorer, it is $7,500 off. Remember last week I was telling you about these ridiculous deals they had for February. This is the ones you got to hit on. A new 2018 Ford F-150 is $13,000 off. And you can actually get they have a couple leases. You can get the two-wheel drive for $369 or the four-wheel drive for $399. These are ridiculous leases. And that, granted, that is for people with who qualify. So don't go out there and say, well, Roddy said I could have it. So if you want a 2017 Super Duty, $10,000 off. And one I like is this 2018 Ford Fusion. I drove one of those recently, $7,000 off, 0% APR for 72 months for qualified buyers. You just can't beat that. So please, for the love of all that's good, swing out to Athens Ford, get a new or previously owned vehicle, get the lifetime powertrain warranty. They're the only ones that do it. And they've won the President's Award for service 3 years in a row. It's funny, that kind of theme keeps popping up. So swing out to Athens Ford. They will take care of you. They have ridiculous deals for February. And, I mean, when the marketing person out there said, Rod, I got to tell you about these because they surprised even me. And this is just he's not trying to sell me on it. This is just our kind of internal, she's not trying to sell me on it. We're just having our internal talk, and she's just floored by these deals. So if they're impressed, then you'll be impressed. So swing out by Athens Ford and pick up a new vehicle or used vehicle. On your way back, swing by Your Pie, get yourself a great pizza. They are phenomenal. It's over 50 locations. So even if you don't get your vehicle here in Athens Ford, if you were in Atlanta, Cumming, Vinings, anywhere in the Southeast, heck, they're going all over the nation now. You can pick up a Your Pie pizza. They have great paninis, great gelato. I really like that Italian panini. If you get a chance, try it. Or the Southern Heat. That's my favorite pizza out there. Pick that up. We also want to say thanks to Cable East, Robert Wall out in Statham, Georgia. Thanks for being a sponsor of the show. Also, 365 Game Day, big sponsor of the show. They share it. I'm actually, when you see me working on my computer here, I'm usually sending a copy of this to 365 Game Day so they can share it with everybody else. And, of course, Founders Brewing. I'll have to drink Jake's. It's been seeing how he isn't here. I wouldn't want that all-day IPA to go unused. So, I mean, I will step up and take one for the team and drink Jake's beers. I mean, I'm just, team player, Coach. I'm a team player.
You are.
Speaking of team, Georgia improved its roster dramatically. And we had a great series of stories from Patrick Garbin wondering, on paper, is this the best Georgia class that's ever been signed? And it actually came in with a tie. He didn't say one way or the other because he went back to that 1982 class and he said, these are the top two. And it's really tough to say which one is better. But also third was the 1998 class. You might know a little something about. Who was right in that class?
Good class. Had a lot of good players and good guys that have become really good Georgia Bulldogs after they've left the program. But, I think it's hard to really compare classes. It's a different age. I mean, 25, 30 years later. It's just a different types of athletes now. I mean, size, speed, some of the linemen back then, just not near as big as what we see now. But certainly when you look at what we were able to do was identify the needs of our team and do a good job of recruiting to the needs and also to supplement the present squad. That's what you always do. But what was really impressive to me, we had our show last Tuesday, and we kind of projected what might happen on Wednesday. And, it really didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that what the chances were. But still, to deliver on Campbell and Walker and, just to, flip the guys like we did and keep on with Bush and get him, and then to go down there and get Otis Reese just really solidified an unbelievable class. And the one thing that's overwhelming to me was, we talked about back in early December and all, what are we going to do about some of these guys that are going to other schools, like Cox was going to Ohio State, like Cook was going to Florida State, like, just on and on, Reese going to Michigan, Walker going to Alabama, Justin Fields going to Penn State. You take those five guys or six guys and away from this class, and it's still a good class, but it's not the number one class in the country. But just the ability to get on the bandwagon, and I give Justin Fields a lot of credit, just like yes. I did Fromm last year, that he did a tremendous job of taking the challenge and coming in here, knowing there was an inherent quarterback here, but also wanting to go to a state school, and he really did a good job of kind of being a Pied Piper for these guys and showing the leadership that was necessary. And you've seen these guys at camps when you're there and how they hang around and everything. So just, you know, it's been almost ad nauseum giving kudos about the class, but I do feel like that the ability to hang in there and flip these guys was the most salient part of it, just to make these guys understand, hey, we really got a good base here. If you come here, it's just going to really get us over the top.
Two of the guys I think are most kind of very interesting when you talk about flipping guys, about just being opportunistic. Cade Mays from Tennessee. Kid grows up in Knoxville. Tennessee commit. His dad, you know, is a legacy, played there. He's a legacy. This is a kid who's going to Tennessee. Tennessee has a coaching change, and before Jeremy Pruitt can get in there, you've flipped Cade Mays to Georgia. To me, the biggest shock of the entire class. And James Cook, his brother Dalvin Cook, goes to FSU. This is a kid who lives pretty much at FSU, and you were basically able to take two, and granted, I can't really call him a legacy, but you know, your older brother plays there, and it's basically your family, and you pulled both of those kids, two five-star guys. That, to me, really impressed. And then to end, if you had just given me those 20 players that you signed on December 20th, to me, this would have been, as you said, 7 5 stars. This would have been still probably the number one class in the nation, if not number two. But they were able to finish with a 5-star cornerback who's 6'2", runs a 10.4 100-meter dash. And for people that don't know, that is flying. A guy who a lot of people are projecting.
Anybody on this show knows what a 10.400 means. I mean, they're not watching the Chew here. This right is now. I mean, seriously. They know
well, I'm just
10.4.
You know, we got some people that may not pay attention, but 10.4 is lights out. So
I just had to bust you on
that's
that.
That's okay. He's a track guy.
Is the football blown up or stuffed? I mean, that's the question. A lot of people don't know that. You know, hey, you blow it up.
Exactly. Well, if you're in the Patriots, you blow it up a little more.
You were hesitating a little bit.
No,
there,
I'm just saying, I was looking for a Patriots joke there because I want to make fun of them. I'm still mad about that Super Bowl victory over the Falcons. But to be able to pull those two, and then to close with Tyson Campbell, a 5-star, a guy who is committed to Michigan, and Otis Reese, a Rivals 100 linebacker. And, okay, getting those two, hey, great, you went from 20 to 22. But then they flipped Quay Walker. Here's a kid who's committed to Alabama. You pulled another Alabama guy. Granted, he wasn't going to Alabama. It came down to Tennessee versus Alabama. You flipped yet another Rivals 100 linebacker. So you go 5-star, Rivals 100 linebacker, Rivals 100 linebacker. And you mentioned getting things that you needed. You need defensive linemen in this class. You hang on to Jordan Davis. You hang on to Tramell Walther. You get both those guys in there. And you're sitting at 25 commits for the class. And then you pull in Tommy Bush, a 6'5" wide receiver out of Texas. It's not like he was, you know, your plan B, plan C guy in South Georgia. You know, you're doing him because he's got a younger brother that you're going to bring on. This is a big body that you need a wide receiver that Justin Fields was going after. James Coley really wanted this guy, you know. And you were able to finish out the class with him. You got 26. Not quite sure how that's going to work out. I know they'll figure it out because – If they didn't have a plan in place, it wouldn't have happened.
They got a plan.
They get their 26 guys, and so not only do you finish with you get the initial 20, but the final five gave you more momentum.
You find
six more, and
probably could have had four or five more.
Oh, absolutely. Well, there was a we can go Antoine Green. I mean, there's
Goodrich,
Mario.
There's a lot of kids
you had to turn away and. The reason I bring that up, because I just remember, and this is from a fan standpoint, granted the fans don't determine what goes on the field, but there have been numerous times over the last few years where George was in that final battle on the final day, you know, the Aubrey Solomons of the world, you know, the Derek Browns, and you see him put on that different hat, and you just kind of, and you know you have a good class, but you were able to close on some of those top kids, and it's almost as if Georgia could not have done this any better.
You're going to have some of those years that happen. I mean, a lot of it's because the kid sees an opportunity in another place quicker to play. But I think the overriding thing here that we could make pretty much a good statement here is the fact that so many of these kids are waiting to see what we're going to do this year. You know, we heard Salyer say over and over, hey, let's see how Georgia does this year. And the same thing is true with a lot of these guys. So what happens is an unbelievable year where you win the SEC, you know, you dominate your rivals like we did against Tennessee and Florida and Georgia Tech and come back with that win over Auburn. So now not only these kids like these coaches and like the way they coach and like these new facilities and all that, but they see that the fruit of their labor is starting to pay off and they can win with this style here. So, you know, they're just jumping all over it, and that was good. And the one thing that was really kind of funny for me is, you know, I've got some friends in the coaching business, and I got some friends in the TV and radio business, and I would say at
least – You don't have any friends. Don't lie.
But at least five of them call me during the day and didn't necessarily swear, but what in the – is going on down there? How are they getting all these players? You know, and just really true respect. You know, yeah. Mac Brown was doing the show up there on ESPN, and, you know, he was asking me about it. And Tom Luganville, who follows it, you know, yeah, a lot more. And I thought Mac did a good job of relating so many of the things that happened. But overall, the respect that this country has here, I think it was Coach Strickland just walking out, wasn't it?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Take two and hit the right. We got to open up on Friday.
Yeah, well, to say
that's good. He knows where to eat. Hey, I think he's got a better chance of winning now eating at Champions here on the.
That's what he needs to do for his players is bring them some of those tenders.
But seriously, that in itself, attention grabber, not so much that you're the number one recruiting class in the country, but just how many five-star players, you just don't get that. I mean, you mentioned Southern Cal did it once, but that gets your attention pretty quick that, you know, you can get some five- and four-star guys and all, but get that many of them, just incredible.
Well, let me put it this way, though, because we mentioned that Georgia tied the record. USC had 8 5-stars in 2004. That year, I don't think we were quite doing our rankings the exact same way that we do them now. Now, if you achieve a 5-star ranking in the Rivals system, what we think is basically this is a kid who's going to immediate impact guy. You know, not to say he starts as a freshman because you might have another 5-star ahead of him, but this is a guy who's going to have an impact on your squad, probably an All-American, not just, you know, All-Conference, but All-American, and very likely has the ability to be a first-round draft pick. So there should not be more than 30 to 34 5-stars because there's only 32 first-round draft picks.
You go that far with them saying they could be a first-round draft
pick. First-round draft pick. You know, when you look at Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Cade Major, like these guys, if they continue on the path that we project them, you know, they're a 3 or 4 year player, and they could go. And Garen, it's a shot in the dark. It's an opinion.
It is in a little way, but realistically, it's bolstering your system. There's not many of these 5-stars that fizzle. Most of the time, those guys come through pretty good. No, I mean,
yeah. And if it is, it's a situation where you had like Rashad Roundtree, 5-star guy. He's medically – he can't play. He had to hang up his cleats. You know, there's situations like that. Or a guy that gets sidetracked because of something social, not something because of his ability on the field.
Right.
And some guys don't pan out. We see a lot of 4-star and 3-stars that make it all the way up. But it's more rare. And so we're basically saying out of the 3 million high school football players, here are the 32 we think are going to be first-round draft picks. And when you go in and you pull those guys, that's impressive. Georgia pulled 25% of the available – there's 33 of them – of the available 5-stars out there. In 2004, we had over 50 5-stars. And I think back then it was more of a here's the best player at their position. So, in other words, it was kind of diluted. So I think that this class, even though technically it's tied for that 2014, four of those guys didn't even show up. I mean, I don't see four busts in this class, if you will. So I do think that even though technically it's a tie, I think this is the best class at Georgia. Now, point-wise, we assign a point total to each kid. You know, okay, if you're a 5-star, 4-star, you know, whichever. This was 15 points, out of, it was like 3,000-something, behind Alabama's 2017 class, which they had 7 5-stars, but a bunch of 4-stars. But I bring this up to say Trent Smallwood on our site went and compared Georgia's roster the number five star Alabama has, the number five star Georgia has, four stars, three stars, three stars. And in 2 years, they are almost identical.
Oh, that's good.
I didn't now, granted, three stars for – I mean, 3 years for Kirby because he inherited one class coming in, but two full classes.
He did a good job with that class.
Yes, he has. So.
But I would say this. For some of these schools that here on the pipe dreams, you're not going to win the SEC with a bunch of three-star players.
No.
You're not going to win the ACC with a bunch of two-star players. So I just think some of these schools, you know, hey, we had a turnaround here. We got a new coach. You know, we did about as good as we could do. You're not going to win with three-star players in this league when you're going – I mean, I don't care how good the coach you are. You're going up against these guys. They're just better better athletes. You know, it's just very difficult. So the whole point is, to me, is go after the cream of the crop. And one of the things we've been able to do is branch out. You take a Cade Mays and a Cook that are not from here, and you add Campbell – that's 3 5-star players from outside the state of Georgia that most teams don't even have a 5-star, but we got 3 from outside. And what this early signing date helped with us is
– Zamir White, you get a 4th one.
Well, yeah, Zamir White too. I forget about Zamir. Hey, that's why we got to everybody over here helping us. But we forget about Zamir because he's hurt right now, but he's going to come back. He's doing really well with his rehab. But I would say this about what this two-night – what this – early signing date help for the fans out there. They used to have a rule: the head coach could go out in the evaluation period in the spring, and let's say you're a player over at Conyers and Kirby Smart your high school, and everybody in the school knows it, even though he can't talk to you, but they know it, you know. Well, now they passed a rule that none of these head coaches can go out in the spring, so you alleviate that chance to make that kind of impression on. But what was able to happen here with us only having 4 guys that we had to really recruit, we had 2 committed, we recruited a few more. Kirby was able to go all around the country and go in these schools and talk to these juniors and sophomores. Not necessarily talk to them, but, you know, bump into them. But the idea was we did some spring recruiting over the hump this time.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was up in West Virginia. One of my buddies up in West Virginia called me and said, "What in the hell is Kirby Smart doing up here in West Virginia?" I said, "Well, you know, he's just coming up there to check on a couple coal mines he's going to buy."
Because everyone's thinking 2018. He's already working 2019, 2020, and 2021. And that brings up a question that we have from Walt Hewitt. He says, "I'd like to know some of the 2019 targets we may not know." Walt, I'm going to have Jake Roos answer that for you next week. But Jake did send me a note specifically regarding the 2019 class. And he says,
we already got Hazelwood, right?
Yeah, got Jaden Hazelwood, Dominic Blaylock, who that guy might wind up being a 5-star,
I think
too.
We got 8 committed or something.
8 commit. And on to your point about working 2019, on signing day, Georgia picked up a Rivals 250 tight end. And
we
Riley
predicted
Cody.
That, too. I mean,
yeah,
Jake did a good job on that.
Jake said you're
he said he's going to commit today, and you put him in there with that linebacker from there, and then also Blaylock. That's a pretty good area there for Georgia.
To get JT Bertrand and Dominic Blaylock, the 3 amigos, 3 best friends, 3 guys are going to room together.
Is that what they call themselves, the 3 amigos?
No, I call them that. They're not that corny. No.
Muy bueno.
Exactly.
I like that, the 3 amigos.
But Jake says this because he sent me a couple notes for the podcast because he knows I need him while he's here. And he says, "It may be hard to believe, but I think Georgia's 2019 class can be as good, if not better, than the historic Hall of 2018.
Why not?
Said the depth in-state is that strong, and the Bulldogs are off to a strong start in the class. They likely need to dip outside the borders for some help. You know, the nose tackle position and possibly running back, which we have an update on, 2019 kid, Naquan
from Florida.
Wright, Florida.
Who, he did good in that.
Naquan.
Let's give a shout out to Dale Miller for Forget It Now, National Recruiter of the Year, SEC.
Yeah. He's all
over that stuff now on the running backs. Yeah.
So he's got a running back named Naquan Wright. We have a front page story on him. Chad Simmons, shout out again. He came to the Rivals camp, showed out. This was a kid who had a bum ankle last year. A lot of schools passed on him because he was hurt. Georgia stayed on him. Now he's healthy, and in that camp he looked lights out. So Georgia's all over him. So Georgia might have to step outside for a nose tackle, a running back, and maybe another quarterback. They've got to get another quarterback on this class. But meanwhile, in-state, you know, we got all these kids with that Georgia pride. That's what kept Otis Reese from going to Michigan. He says, "I want to play for my home team." Also,
I heard that Michigan's not doing very well either.
It also, this is another thing, give Kirby Smart and those guys credit. they said, look, we want you to come in and play safety. Whereas Michigan was telling them, we want you to play here, 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 and here. Where a lot of kids, that is a it's a selling point. I get to play a bunch of different positions. But what we were heard, or what we were told, was that the appeal of coming in and focusing on just one position for Otis Reese was a selling point, because for his high school, he plays all over the place. He's like, look, I can come in and learn just one position and parlay safety and parlay that into a NFL career.
You believe that?
That's what he said.
All right.
What was it?
Hey, that's good. I mean, I believe anything you tell me. I just want to know.
But the idea that he said, look, I want to stay home and play for the home team, that had a lot to do with it.
That's what I think. So overriding.
That was the overriding factor, but that didn't hurt. That said,
yeah,
look, we have a
point.
Plan for
I mean, maybe the guy felt like something different. You're telling them, like, you know, they're telling me this, and now you're telling me you got a specific, and you lose some guys in the secondary where I got a chance. And
well, he says
so many of these guys are looking too at the fact that so many of these guys last year played on special teams as freshmen, you know, and that really gave them a shot. And also look at power of the G, man.
Absolutely,
power of the G.
When you're Otis Reese and you're looking, and they say, "Look, we just lost Dominic Sanders, who started 53 games for us, tied for with Billy Bennett for the most all-time starts ever. We got to replace a guy." You come in as a freshman, you got a shot. We played 17, 18 true freshmen this year. Six of them started. You know, you got a real shot to come in, and I think that resonated with him. But looking at this 2019 class, Jake says, wide receiver, linebacker, and even defensive ends are abundant in the Peach State for 2019. And Kirby knows this and has already been working on these guys for 2 years. We saw a bunch of them come up for the junior day. And they were talking about, you know, they feel so comfortable. They're not seeing Georgia for the first time on these junior days. They're coming up and palling around with the coaches. They're in their office with the feet up, you know, just having a good time because they've been here multiple times. And this is also happening with the 2020 and 2021 classes. So to your point, what they were doing during that, I don't want to call it the contact period in January where everyone's trying to finish out their 2018 classes, Kirby was ensuring the 2019, 2020, and 2021 classes are feeling the love, as they say, are getting all that attention. He's on the road. He's in the Kirby copter hitting up, you know, 10 different high schools. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing,
that's on top
of that. You got Kirby doing that, but you got 10 other coaches going to areas they probably would never go. I mean, I know one coach that went up to New York and checked out a couple kids that more than likely we wouldn't have checked out. I also know another one went up to the Tidewater. That's why you listen to the show here. Went up to Tidewater and checked out some area, you know. But it's so much easier if you see a guy on the hoof compared to watching the tape. For me, obviously the tape gets you excited, but you go out there and this guy's supposed to be 6'4", 250, and all of a sudden he's 6'1 and a half, 210. It's a lot of difference, so you're not wasting your time. But
hey, I was 6'2 in my high school program. Thank you very much.
But you go out there and you get the eyeball test and you come back, and now you're able to take a guy like Cook, you know, from Florida, or Cade Mays and some of that, because you have a good idea about what they can do already, and you recruit them like you're talking about. You don't have the benefit, though, of those guys. And this is where I'm just trying to amplify what you say. A guy comes to the spring game as a sophomore. He comes to some games. You know, he comes to camp in the summer. He comes there. So all of a sudden, you got five or six visits with him. You get to know his parents. You know his the brothers and sisters. But a guy from up north, or a guy from out west, you know, it's usually just a one-time shot. You know what I mean? So you don't have that benefit of all in the family type. Hey, I want to be part of this, like you do. You got to really do some things. But if you've already started by going to that school his junior year, you got a big jump on him.
When Georgia goes to West Virginia, goes up to the Tidewater, goes into New York, sees a kid as a junior, when they give him that invite to come to camp, your likelihood of getting that kid to come to camp increases 100-fold.
Exactly.
No question. Getting that kid to camp increases his chances of coming to Georgia 100-fold. A kid who hasn't been on campus is not going to commit to your school. It's very, very, very rare. So –
unless you're Hartley Dykes back in 1987. He signed with Oklahoma State without an official visit.
And each year we hear about a kid who's, you know, the Laramie Tunsils of the world who don't visit and wind up signing somewhere. It happens. It's happened at Georgia. But it's rare. But the point being, ideally you want a kid to come to your camp. And Kirby has closed all these camps to the media. And I found out why. Well, part of it was there were some media.
They didn't want to feed you guys.
No, they don't feed us. There were some media idiots. I'm not going to name names. But at one of their camps, he came up to me and said, if you blankety-blanks are not allowed into camp next year, it's because of those blankety-blanks down there who were underneath the tent where they had their special kids, and they were hovering around them, you know, trying to get information.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah, that's stupid.
You but, just come out there and take what you get.
Yeah,
you
know, I
give you a crumb,
well, that's what we
let
were doing.
You watch them.
We were nowhere
everybody
near the tent.
Everybody wants an edge, but I can't blame them for
yeah.
You don't want these kids to be hounded.
Right, and we're not allowed to talk to them on campus, which is like, why are you guys bothering them when you're not allowed to talk to them at all? And Kirby closed down the camps the following year. But it wasn't just because the media were being idiots. I found out another thing he's doing is they invite some kids that nobody knows about. And they take them in, and they work them out in that camp, and they let them leave. But they don't need that advertised to everybody in the world. Hey, this kid went to the Georgia camp and worked out.
Exactly. I agree
so
with that.
That kind of – it's frustrating for me as a journalist, but as a, you know, I get it. So I don't you know, give Kirby the business over that one. Oh, but I do want to jump in on your point about, you know, it's not just Kirby out there. It's the other coaches. Del McGee named National Recruiter of the Year. Well-deserved. Absolutely well-deserved. Kirby needs to do whatever he can to make sure that guy is extremely happy because every school in the nation is going to come after him next year. Some already have come for him early. We also
But you know the difference between Kirby and a lot of coaches?
Mm-hmm.
He makes these guys feel like how much he appreciates what they do, and he doesn't wait till somebody else offers them a job. I mean, he does a lot of things for these guys to make them feel like, you know, regardless of what monetarily or anything else, but these guys love working for him. You know what I mean? So somebody's got to come after him, but they got to remember, you know, hey, how am I going to go leave this situation? So he makes it hard for him to leave, and that loyalty is the two-way street. So I think one of the things I always told the guys, I'm going to pay you as much as I can within the framework of what we have. And all of a sudden when somebody else comes and offers you a job and offers you more, then I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to pay you more. Why didn't I pay you more then when I could have? You know what I mean? So I think that's what Kirby does. He does everything he can to promote his coaches. And, you know, he's happy when they get, you know, like Shearer, you know, you saw what he said about him when he left. And it's a two-way street. He was an assistant coach once. And, you know, the only thing I ever told our coaches was, hey, look, if you're going to talk to somebody else, I just want to know about it. You know, I don't want to read about it. And if there's some way I can help you, I'll help you. But I don't want you out looking for a job without me knowing about it. You know right. what I mean?
And I think that we don't know the coaches on his staff per se. We very seldom get to talk to them. But talking to people who do know them, I don't see that as being a situation. And if Kirby sees that one of these guys has a chance to move on in a better situation, he's going to be all for it. Mark Richt was the same way. Mark Richt's coaching tree is impressive, you know. Your coaching tree is impressive. You had guys going to the Super Bowl that right. coached under you.
If you don't do that, then you're not going to have a very good staff. Right. I mean, it's
and
a two-way
getting
street.
Getting a replacement will be tough.
It's a two-way street. You know, they want to – obviously, a lot of guys want to come coach at Georgia, but, you know, everybody knows who's your boss. How does he act?
Yeah.
Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, all that. But
I want to give credit to two more coaches before we move on from Del McGee. We all right after we had a national story on Del McGee being the National Recruiter of the Year, we put out our top 25 list, top 25 recruiters. Georgia had two more on that.
Got to be Pittman and Tucker, right?
They absolutely were Pittman and Tucker. So,
but Sam I also would add Schumann in there. I mean, hey, all of these guys did a good job.
James Coley.
Coley, how do you keep them out?
But when you're looking at the top 25, you know they had to be like 26 and 27. And, again, it's an opinion piece. We're not assigning points to them. But when you look at the kids that Mel Tucker was able to land, you know, and here's the thing, it's not just – they're not just getting it from one coach. You know, you have your position coach and your area coach and then your head coach. So
yeah, let me explain that real quick.
If you would.
You got 10 coaches now, and the first thing you do is break down the state of Georgia into at least 7 or 8 areas, and 3 or 4 of them are going to be in the contiguous Atlanta area.
Right.
And those coaches go there every year, regardless if they're a running back coach or wide receiver coach or linebacker coach. That's their school. They go in there every year. They know the 9th graders and 11th graders. They know the counselors. They know everybody there, and they got a good rapport. When the coach calls up and wants to come over here, they set it up. So that's your school, and then they're – guys have South Georgia, North Georgia, you know, Columbus, all that. So, and then you have an out-of-state area, you know, where you just basically do that by what the recruiting coordinators give you and all that. You look at these guys at certain states. So if a guy in Washington or California comes up, you're in charge of that guy.
Right.
And then you add the position coach who goes in and checks on the guy and helps you recruit him, and then the coordinator on top of it, and then the head coach. So basically you got four guys recruiting every kid.
What happens when the geographic guy, the regional guy, he has a kid that's not his position? You know, say your linebackers coach has a quarterback in his area that he's responsible for, and he wants to give that kid an offer. He says, this kid is a fantastic quarterback. Let's offer him. I think he'll commit. I think we got a chance here. But the quarterback's coach says no.
You know, the quarterback's coach probably wouldn't have the last say, so it would be the head coach. But I think the whole deal is you bring in the – you look at and evaluate guys by position and compare them, because we don't want to take a guy in North Georgia because he wants to come here and there's a better player in South Georgia who might be up in the air, you know what I mean, but might be a better player. So you want to get a good combo of how they look and how they compare to the rest of the players. So you rank them. And certain guys you're going to hold for, you know, and wait. Yeah. But I think to answer your question, the pecking order is we're going to bring it back, get the position coach to look at it, then the coordinator. And if you think he's scholarship worthy, then you're going to take him into the head coach who makes the final deal about, hey, we're going to go after this guy. And so, at this point, you're offering guys in 2020. I mean, you got guys that
– 2021.
Yeah.
There's the kids that are freshmen.
So But you got to. I mean, that's just the way that's the way you.
Well, and I want to bring this up real quick. Don't mean to cut you off, but for every I've had and friends of mine say, Roddy, I can't read a story about a 2021 kid or, you know, a freshman or a sophomore in high school. I can't get excited about it. And it's been so convenient to have Deshaun Watson show out as big as he did, because I'm like, you know who did talk to Deshaun Watson after his freshman year and offered him? Clemson. Where did he wind up going? Clemson. Where was he? Who did he win a title for? Clemson. When Georgia got into it, you know, 30 offers later, they had a lot of ground to make up, and they did. And Mike Bobo worked hard and got Georgia within the final two, but that early impression of a kid who had talent, and you could see it as a true freshman. I saw him as a junior beat Buford almost single-handedly. There's a first in home loss regular season that Buford had in like 7 or 8 years. They won all their home games in the regular season. It was unreal. And the first time they lost was to Deshaun Watson. And he'd already been committed to Clemson for almost two years at that point. So sometimes you do have to go to these guys early on and say, but really, Aaron McLaughlin, you're 6 foot six. You throw a – you. In other words, if you couldn't tell that Trevor Lawrence was a star – as a true freshman, you know, taking his team to the state title and then winning two titles in a row thereafter, 33-something wins like that in a row. You know, there are guys who are worth writing about, and we don't write about every 2021 kid, but there are some that are special.
Well, you got to, and you got to realize, too, that Kirby Smart is not going to offer a guy a scholarship unless he's worthy of it. I mean, you just don't throw him around like that. Right. We say, hey, let's just offer and we can pull it or anything. Hey, you make an offer, it's got to be a pretty good deal that you think this guy is worthy of coming here. And I think we're really good about evaluating. As much as I like the way we develop players here, and I've seen it in the 3 years that Kirby's been here, I really like the way we evaluate them too, because I want to know about the guys that you offer that aren't very good, you know, and we haven't had many of those mistakes at this point. And certainly I've made one or two mistakes in my life on guys, but sometimes they don't develop. But what you've got to really put the checks and balances is this guy as good right now as he's going to be 4 years from now? Or, you know, what's the upside of this guy? What's our team like right now? What do we need to do to improve it? How are we going to get better? Well, the first thing we did here, we said we need to get bigger.
Yeah.
We got bigger pretty quick in the secondary. We need to get more physical. We need to get bigger guys back there, guys that can run a little better. So I think evaluating your needs and then taking care of them, that's the name of the game.
Kind of looking for, and not to take away from any of the guys who are in the secondary now, but when you talk about getting more physical and bigger in the secondary, when I think of a guy, a safety, not bigger, but just definitely more physical, playing for Georgia right now, and Richard LeCount. And then maybe beside him, a big physical guy like Otis Reese.
Right.
And Quay Walker, Azeez Ojulari, Adam Anderson, Brenton Cox on the edges. You know,
same that, thing we were talking about yeah, 4 years
getting,
ago when we were talking
getting,
about.
That's getting nasty.
And, you know, from what I hear, how do you pronounce that again?
Azeez Ojulari.
Attaboy. So Ojulari is really coming
Azeez
along.
Azeez is probably easiest.
He's coming along with his rehab pretty right. well. And so is Zamir. But the thing about both Mays and Ojulari, they both have brothers that are going to be really good.
Yes.
So we hope that we'll continue that. You know, legacy, continuing those kind of guys, getting them here.
Kind of like, go back to the Edwards, the Baileys, the Theuses, you know.
Stinchcombs.
They were okay.
Yeah, and another
John was good. Matt, yeah.
You know, you do shout out on guys, but I think one of the things that's been really good for us here is our own players. When the guys come here on campus, they're sold on what's happening.
Yep.
And they're the best recruiters you got. I mean, Dale McGee does a terrific job, but he brings a guy in the campus, and those coaches put him with the host. They put him with Nick Chubb or with Sony Michelle, and they're going to say, hey, Coach McKee, what he tells you, that's the way it is.
Exactly.
I mean, he's going to work you hard, but he's going to be there for you. You know, so
I want to give the Georgia coaches a little bit more credit than previously thought, because they were able to sign this group of players without having Ryan Rankin out there hosting these kids. Ryan Rankin is a legendary Georgia recruiting host. You know, he was a member of the Goon Squad, you know, inside right. linebacker who would go flying down the field, sacrificing his body, loved to hit people. And Ryan Rankin, there was a reason Jacob Eason came to Georgia, because Ryan Rankin was his host that weekend he came in. And whenever they needed a big-time kid, Ryan Rankin was the guy. For Georgia to be able to sign all these kids without him, That's a hell of an improvement.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was. So, hardly anybody does, but Ryan Rankin, legendary Georgia host. Let's jump into a couple questions here. Corey and Brandy Bates says, I'd like to know the status of D'Angelo Gibbs and why he disappeared. That's a five-star we need to see. D'Angelo Gibbs, we broke the news that he was not enrolled in school this semester. And if you remember last year, that same thing happened with Trent Thompson. He missed out on spring, but came back and was able to play. D'Angelo is not enrolled in classes, but he is on campus. Kirby Smart confirmed that. He's taking care of some things. I expect him to be back. I could be wrong. At first, I did not, but I thought if he was going to transfer, that he might have by now. But Coach says he's back around, which also brings up the question about Natrez Patrick. And Coach Smart said that Natrez Patrick was still on campus. And, you know, we also broke the news that the with 11 Alive that the drug and alcohol policy has been given a little more leeway. It was very draconian to begin with, very X plus X plus X equals Z. You're gone. And they said, look, you know, some of these are poor situations where just because a kid's arrested and, you know, he was arrested with Jason Stanley. Jay said, look, the drugs in the car are mine and Natrez is just a passenger. And they said, well, we found this, you know, nickel-sized piece underneath his seat. Therefore, he's arrested. That's garbage. And it gives the athletic director ability to take in extenuating circumstances. I think that Natrez Patrick will be back with the team either come spring or fall. So, because I know that question gets asked a lot, but D'Angelo Gibbs, we're just going to have to wait on that situation. We've also got a bunch of questions.
One more thing here. It's a very tough situation to be the coach, and you want to have discipline. You want to have do what's right by the program, but also what's right by the kid because, mm-hmm. you know, and every situation is different, and you know what the kids have done as far as following the rules, and some of them haven't. So I think in the end that the head coach is going to make the decision based on what – he feels like this kid's going to be able to do to help the program and what he deserves for a second chance or whatever it might be. But also the rules are what they are. You can't do anything to affect those as a coach. But when it gets down to that, I think Kirby's going to always look at what's best for the program. But he's also a player's coach. That, you know, if you were the parents of some kid that had his opportunity taken away from him just because of some technicality, you're not going to like that much. Yeah. So I don't know that that's true on the case of Patrick or not, but I do feel like that I feel good about as much as I feel good about Kirby coaching, recruiting and all. I feel like, number one, he's a father and a husband, and he's a family guy, and it means a lot to him about what these kids stand for.
Yeah. Jake sent me a note, shout out to Kirby and the staff for doing great roster management, to be able to squeeze 26 guys into 25 spots, knowing that either one counts backwards or one a gray shirt or one will one's going to JUCO, one may not qualify. I'm not sure how it all works out, but the fact that we are beyond the days of the 2012 SEC championship game where Georgia faced Alabama with 69 scholarship players. They only had 69 guys who received a scholarship out of high school. Now, they fleshed that out with, you know, a bunch of walk-ons. But
yeah, but a lot of those guys left for different reasons.
It wasn't like they didn't sign 85.
I think that's something we got to look to that Clemson's in right now. And I've always said this, you can't win with bums.
Yeah.
Clemson's in a situation where they're not losing many players.
No.
They're graduating them, they're keeping them. So they were only, they had a fantastic recruiting class, that we could only sign 16. The better our guys do academically, the better they do staying here in school, we're going to have a smaller class here. It's going to end up that we're going to have down the road, we're going to be in the same situation. We're going to take 15 or 16 in the next couple of years, aren't we?
Yeah, I wanted to point this out. Earlier we were talking about the five stars. Clemson signed five or six of five stars themselves in a much smaller class.
Three of the top 11.
Yeah, compared to what Georgia was able to sign. Georgia was able to get, you know, the 25. They got a lot fewer. That class, if you think about it, you have 14 of the 33 five stars are within 70 miles of each other. Georgia and Clemson are about to go head-to-head in the playoffs. You know, I mean, it's, you're going to have such great Southern football. And then with Alabama, Georgia and Clemson being on the rise, and, of course, Auburn and LSU coming back, and Tennessee and Florida doing uptakes. The people who were kind of down on the SEC this year better get over it, because the ACC is getting stronger. I think Taggart's going to turn FSU around. Miami's coming back. It's going to be
– I think Ohio State – is proving, though, they're doing the same thing recruiting year in and year out too.
I'm not saying there aren't others. You know, USC I think is going to pick up, but the some of the power that we saw leaking out, you know, the recruits going elsewhere, it's getting tougher and tougher for a kid in Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Florida, Alabama to go anywhere else. Their options are huge.
Let's get some of these questions. I shouldn't have interrupted you, but
Chuck Ward did say, well, what does the coach feel about Dan Mullen saying Kirby was a blind squirrel?
Well, he was using I don't know what the word would be, but, you know, he was just saying that a blind squirrel finds an acorn once in a while. You know, Georgia finally won the championship and all that. But, you know, he was in a group of boosters that were a lot of people around, and you don't know that the press was there. And, when you were among those guys, you try to, you know, make light of Georgia maybe. But I don't think it really any big deal here for us. It's not going to be any big bulletin board material, but you got to be – when you get in front of groups like that, you know, I know I said that one year. I said I've been waiting 55 years to have a team like this, and I thought we were going to have that team, you know, but we had some things go wrong for us. But it always comes back to haunt you. I think that's where Kirby's done a pretty good job of going out to some of these clubs and having no press around. I think that's important.
I disagree.
I don't think these guys give all this money to the program to have somebody come in there and quote everything the coach says.
That's true. But
I mean, you'd like to have a little inside scoop there without.
You guys get
pretty good access to these guys though.
No,
every
not
week
to the coaches. No, we get nothing to the coaches.
I'm not talking about the system. You get access to Kirby though.
We were not going to talk to him for like another 4 months.
You don't think you're going to talk to him in spring?
No. We'll finally get to talk to him in spring, but that's going to be a ways off.
Wait, exaggerate. Another 4 months. It's only like 40 days.
It feels like 4 months, Coach. but to the point there, I actually want to defend Dan Mullen here because I think he was a little bit taken out of context. He said that Georgia gets there 1 year, and everyone says that they're now a dominant program. And he pointed out it's kind of a shot against Florida. He said, look, Florida had been there twice in the last 3 years, and they're not dominant. Getting to the SEC championship game out of the East does not mean you're a dominant program.
Right.
Now, to be fair, Georgia did win the SEC, which Florida was not able to do. They won the Rose Bowl, played for the national championship. So, again, if you did that once, you're not a dominant program. You had a good run. If you do it repeatedly, then you're a dominant program. And so I know it sounds weird, but I'm actually defending Dan Mullen because I think he was taken out of context. Because a lot of people are like, ooh, you know, and all these clickbait sites want to run with it and get the Georgia fans all fired up. And
well, you know what's hard, though? You go out to these recruiting luncheons or dinners that they have to celebrate your recruiting class, and they did pretty well at Florida. They did okay at some of these other schools. But some of these schools, can you imagine going in there and talking to your – have you ever heard a coach get up in front of everybody and say, man, we had a horseman in your class.
Yeah, that was terrible.
It was terrible.
We didn't get anybody we wanted.
You know, it was –
and the kids we got are terrible.
And but you're not going to have that happen. They're going to try to make it be as realistic as you can, but also optimistic. But you're selling tickets. You're doing all that, and you got to sell hope. And some of these teams got a long way to go. But I would say that really, as the head coach of any place, you just got to be real careful about the information that you put out there. And I know all you guys want to have all these different ideas.
I'll tell you why I want the access coach. And it's not – well, let me put it this way. People say, well, it's your business, and you're trying to get more subscribers, and the more access you have, the more subscribers you'll get. Sort of. We're able to break a lot of news without access. We break a ton. We had, like you said, we had all three new coach hires. We accurately predicted where every kid was going to go on signing day. I predicted Georgia was going to get Tommy Bush. The rest of my guys did not predict that because they thought there was only five spots.
But you said Quay Walker was going to Tennessee.
And then I changed it. But then we said we had Tommy Bush's commitment story. He already told us he's coming, but we said there's no way they're going to get him. So once they found out, if we'd known they were getting 26, we'd have been 6-6.
Do you really think he's going to tell you that?
No, Kirby's not. The reason I want, though, is if there is a journalist in the room when Dan Mullen says what he does or Kirby says what he does, I trust it more than hearing it from a booster. That's the only reason I want to be in those rooms. It's more about accuracy than access. You know, I want to know that again, the point where in that Dan Mullen quote, he's actually kind of putting Florida down, saying, look, we got to the SEC title game twice. We're not a dominant program. That's not – a journalist would have caught that and put it out there. So that's the reason I want the access. But to the other questions here, and this is interesting. Steve Burnett says, please ask Coach Donnan what he thought about the now infamous Quay Walker hat tossing. And for people that don't know what that is, when Quay Walker made his announcement, he got up and put on a Tennessee hat, and they took it off, tossed it aside, pulled off a towel and a coat, and he had a Georgia logo shirt on and Georgia shorts. And a lot of the Tennessee people got mad that he took the hat off and tossed it aside.
Yeah, I think it's – once you get to this situation where it's their – these kids' day in the sun. It's their chance to be, recognized for having a good career, and it's a one-time shot. You know, I think it's sometimes it goes overboard, but I can't say anything. If I'm a Tennessee fan, I'm not going to let that bother me. That's not going to make the difference. A kid, that was the prop he used. He could have used anything. But, you know, I just think these signing deals are more for the kids, and you give them the chance to do it. And certainly we had our people on site. We had a guy there. And when I say we, UGA Sports had a guy on site, right there.
It was our video that went viral.
And you had the same thing for down there with
Otis Reese.
Riley Goode. So I like the way you do that.
Tyson Gamble.
But it gets to the point where I would like to see a whole lot more written about the guys that are here than the guys that we're recruiting. Yeah. And, because
if we had more access,
well, I mean, you base it on the way they play, man.
I'm just saying, that is another pet peeve of mine. And I get why Kirby does it. He likes to have one message going out. But there are a lot of stories on guys who maybe do not play every week that are great stories that we would like to get out there. So, again, I mean, that's the reason I got in the business, was to tell good stories. And, you know.
I think you do a good job of doing that without, that's don't worry about.
Real quick, if you have a chance, go check out the Players Tribune and see the Muhammad Massaquah video. Muhammad Massaqua, for people that don't know, we broke this story last April on the 15th. He was out with a bunch of his former Georgia players, his buddies, and a couple current NFL guys. They were out riding ATVs. His ATV crashed. I think he was in a side-by-side. And I think what happened was he reached out to kind of catch himself as he was falling, and his hand got messed up. And the reason we were able to break the news was because when he was being life-flighted either into Athens or from Athens or from the ATV accident here, Kirby and some Georgia players or Georgia staff were waiting on him. And he had surgery here, and we wound up. This is a guy who, you know, an NFL vet, one of Georgia's great wide receivers, wound up losing all his fingers on his hand. You know, he only has a thumb and he has a prosthetic. I didn't know. I don't want to tell the story. I want you to go to the Players Tribune and watch it. Mo Mass finally came, you know, almost a year later, came out and explained what happened. And I think it's a fantastic story. But I did want to point out that when he had an accident, you know, 45, 50 minutes away from Athens, it was Thomas Settles, Carla Williams, Ron Corson, the team trainer.
Dr. Saylor. You know, the support group here is really
exactly
important.
You know.
And, you need – it's such a psychological thing on top of the just the – emotional part of everything involved, and you know, once a dog, always a dog. That's the way I look at it.
Exactly. So you had a guy, you know, Bryant Gant, you know, was there. So here, all of a sudden, you have this traumatic episode. You're a half hour, an hour away from any place that can help you, and the Georgia people, this guy's been gone 7-8 years, step up and take care of him. So again, like you said, once a dog, always a dog. Shout out to all the staff and doctors here who helped him. And shout out for Muhammad Massaqua telling his story. He didn't have to do that. It was very brave of him. Love that guy. Classy player, classy individual,
exactly.
And a great story. So go check that out.
And I've got a new update on facilities here, which, you know, I've been talking about the good and what we need. We have a new area over there in the Butt Smear for sleep recovery.
What?
Which is... Hey, these kids have to get some sleep, man. All of a sudden they come in there and they're tired. We've got a room in there that, you know, a lot of like these pro people have. You got 8 massage chairs top to bottom. They got these hot hospital blankets they put on them. And these kids go in there and you know, if they need to get that kind of atmosphere to get the right kind of sleep. Because, you know, you look at during the course of the day, they'll get up at 6 o'clock, lift weights, do all that, go through practice, do all that, and then have the – A really hard practice and then, you know, meeting and then go to their tutoring and all. And sometimes they don't get to bed. So, you know, anytime you – it's a lot different when you come over and just try to put your head against your locker. But now we got a sleep recovery room, which is big time, okay?
I think that's genius.
And that's why you listen to this.
I did not know that. And I will say this.
Shout out to Ron and shout out to Kirby for finding the room. They got an old area there that wasn't being used and made that sleeper come. And we can take you over there and put you in there, bud.
My next question was, is that open to the media? Is something open to the media? So, trust me, I would take those hot blankets. I'm all for that. It's funny. I've heard Ron Corson give his speech when the kids come in for camps. And they're like, okay, guys, you know, we want you to be better athletes. We want you to do well in school. And they have all their speakers get up. They'll get Ron Corson up there, and here's a chance for him to talk about stretching, recovery, all this. The one thing he tells them to do is sleep. And he has these rules. He actually explains how to sleep. He's like, look, you have to get in a dark place. Turn off your dang phone. Don't have it popping up. You have to be in a quiet place. If you have to get headphones, all you got have those Bose or Beats headphones, put those on. You need quiet, you need dark, you need it cold. Open a window in the winter, turn the AC on in the summer. I mean, he has a very strict thing, and he explains to them, this is all the stress you're putting on your body. This is what happens to recuperate. You guys are staying up on Snapchat until 2-3 in the morning and then going to school.
That recovery.
Yeah.
And I tell you what's impressive.
He gave a 30-minute speech on sleeping.
He knows how to he's a 5-star trainer.
Absolutely.
But I'm going to tell you this about sleep recovery. You know, when you get on the internet and everything, you look at the Golden State Warriors. One of the things that they did when they started getting on the run there, and you know, they've been to the championship game the last 3 years, is they realized that when they were going on these charter flights and all that, you know, as soon as they finished the game, they're getting on a flight and then going, they've started spending the night in these places before they travel the next day and try to get, you know, sleep instead of sleeping on the plane and doing all that. And a lot of teams are doing that now. Yeah. And I think
you're right, because we saw this a lot. And this is kind of one of the things that we noticed, because we follow a lot of these kids on social media. They call it busting on a kid or getting caught slipping. You have a freshman. He's been up at, you know, 5 o'clock to lift weights. 6 o'clock he had academics, you know, had to be at the Rankin Center for his class, for his tutor. And then he goes to classes. Then he comes back and has an afternoon practice. There's not going to be practice until the afternoon. He's got like an hour of downtime. They sit in that players' lounge, and they're falling asleep all over the place. They're laying on the floor, laying on a bench.
Now they won't have to do
exactly.
That.
So, and the other guys will take a picture of them and kind of making fun of them, you know, falling asleep in their locker, stuff like that. So to that point, they saw an issue.
We're on the way with it. But right. I'm going to tell you this, too. You talk about we used to have coaches that would set up a deal. We used to have three-way calling, you know, on your phone where a guy would call, get in contact with a guy, and then he'd call me and we'd talk to him, you know. And we had Coach Selfo, who was always talking to him.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to give you a call tonight, and said, we're going to talk to Tim Wansley and everything. I said, hey, that's going to be great and everything. He said, what time are you calling me? He said, oh, sometime between 1:30 and 2. I said, at night? He said, that's the only time I can really give him, Coach. So I tell you what, I'm on a three-way. I'm just laying there, and finally it rings, and I'm talking to Tim Wansley at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's what you never know when you're going to be talking to these guys, you know.
To that end, I've actually interviewed a kid on a school night who he committed to Georgia at like midnight. And I sent him a message, hey, I saw you committed. Can I call you? I know it's a school night. And sometimes they'll say yes. And I've done interviews at 12, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning.
You got a strike when the iron's hot.
Jeff Luke, that huge linebacker, I think went to Florida State or something like that. I remember the one time I got him on the phone. It was like 2-something o'clock in the morning. I mean, it was crazy. And he's on the East Coast. This isn't a guy on the West Coast. This is a kid from Florida. But anyway, that's all the time we have for this week's show. We want to thank everybody here in Champions that came in. Remember to come in this Saturday starting at 5 o'clock. They have a low country boil. It's the 3-year anniversary.
It's going
to be a hell of a party. So come by Champions here on Baxter Street. You're going to love it. During the week, if you want to come by and get any of these sandwiches they have, we have the patty melt, the chicken melt, and the catfish sandwich. They've got one for each day of the week. Come by, check them out. Thanks to Athens Ford. Like I said, they have ridiculous deals out at Athens Ford. Go out there and try it. If you need a new vehicle or a pre-owned vehicle, it's the only place you can get the lifetime powertrain warranty. Swing by your pie, get a pizza, try their sandwich. I know the pizzas are great, but if you have a chance, try the sandwich. We had a bunch of people talking about your pie on our message board the other day. We've had people going in. They absolutely love it. And remember, it's very close to Pi Day, March 14th, 3.14. You can go in and get any pizza in their store for $3.14. It's a huge deal. There'll be lines out the door. Get there early. You definitely want to go buy your pie on March 14th and get that cheap pizza. But go ahead beforehand because it's fantastic. Shout out to 365 Game Day, 11 Live Sports for letting us be on their page. Founders Brewing with the wonderful Dirty Bastard and the All Day IPA. And they have a new lager out there that you need to try. So check out those.
And to Dave here.
And Dave. And Cable East, Robert Wall, thanks for being a sponsor of the show. Thanks for paying your bill. That's all the time we have. Y'all take care. We'll see you next Tuesday at noon.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.